Jew from Volozhin, and he's telling us that it's down to 10 Jews. 5,600 Jews here before the war. The majority of the population of Volozhin was Jewish. This was a Jewish staple. All the houses that you're passing and seeing were Jewish houses. Nothing left. So, destroyed by the Nazis, of course. 1942. Chaim came here, and in 1802, he founded the Volozhin Yeshiva. And the significance of that, and here's what I meant before when I said the key issue to remember is the following. Before Volozhin was invented, before Volozhin was founded by Reb Chaim Volozhin, every yeshiva, there were many yeshivas. Volozhin wasn't the first yeshiva. There wasn't a town in the Jewish world. Europe didn't have a yeshiva. Every rav of every city was also a Rosh Yeshiva. In rabbinic contracts, in the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries, stipulated in the contract was that the community pays the rabbi a certain salary, and the community also supports, and then the number would be filled in, X number of students who will be learning in the yeshiva of the community. The rabbi, the Av Beis Din, was Rosh Yeshiva. I can't begin to tell you how significant this is, but I'll spell it out a little bit, how the world has changed. Anyway, that's how it was. The rabbi was Rosh Yeshiva. Today, a rabbi in America, if you're the rabbi of congregation such and such, you're not a Rosh Yeshiva. The world has changed. But once upon a time, if you were a rabbi, you were also a Rosh Yeshiva. And the yeshiva belonged to the community. If the rabbi was fired, the rabbi left, and she mistaken. The next rabbi became the Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva. The yeshivas were owned by the communities. Rabbis were hired by the communities, and they served as rabbi and Rosh Yeshiva. So Rav Yonason Eibishitz, the greatest Rosh Yeshiva of the 18th century, when he was in Prague, he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Prague. The yeshiva belonged to Prague. When he moved to Metz, he became Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva of Metz. When he moved to Alphen, Hamburg, he became the Rosh Yeshiva of Alphen, Hamburg. Yeshiva belonged to the community. It was owned by the community. The contract stipulated how many students, and that the rabbi could negotiate with the community, how many students would be allowed in the yeshiva and supported by the community. Reb Chaim Volozhin came to Volozhin, and it's very interesting. Reb Chaim Volozhin insisted on becoming Av Beis Din of Volozhin. He was chief rabbi of Volozhin. And not only was he chief rabbi of Volozhin, every successor of Reb Chaim as Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin was chief rabbi of Volozhin. They made a point of it to make sure, following the old minute, that the Rosh Yeshiva is also the chief rabbi. So the Netziv was Rosh Yeshiva and chief rabbi, and so on. It's true for every one of the Rosh Yeshivas. Chaim's successor was Ritzel Volozhin. The Ritzel successor was Rabbi Elazar Fried. The Rabbi Elazar Fried successor was the Netziv. And there were Rosh Yeshivas in Volozhin after the Netziv also. We'll talk about that a little bit. But what did Reb Chaim do? That was different. He did something that never happened before in our records, certainly not in Europe. Reb Chaim turned, now this little community, 2,000 Jews, 3,000 Jews, we're talking about 4 Jews. This little community could not support the yeshiva of Volozhin. It wasn't even possible, he couldn't dream of it. All the Rosh Yeshivas before Reb Chaim had 5 students, 10 students, 20 students supported by the community. Nobody could dream of a yeshiva of 300, 400 students, that was impossible. Reb Chaim turned Volozhin into an international yeshiva. Volozhin didn't have students only from Volozhin, of course. Students came here from all over Europe. And the money came from all over Europe. The money didn't come from Volozhin, for sure. Reb Chaim Volozhin instituted mishulachim, who were paid by the yeshiva to go to America and raise funds in America to support the yeshiva in Volozhin, among other things. This is what's new in Volozhin. This happened here. This never happened before Volozhin. And now every yeshiva does it. See, you say, of course, Mir does it, Telz does it, Slovakia does it. You know, they learned it from Reb Chaim. That's what Reb Chaim instituted. Reb Chaim instituted a yeshiva that's independent of the community. Not one person living in Volozhin had a say in what was taught in the yeshiva in Volozhin. Reb Chaim established the curriculum in Volozhin. There was no board of directors. He owned the yeshiva of Volozhin. He was right. He was a bezin of Volozhin. But he owned the yeshiva of Volozhin. That's what's new about Volozhin. That's a revolution. Because prior to that, the yeshivas were under the control of the Baal Pa. What else shall I say? Chaim wrote Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. Of course, he's one of the great Gedolim and Tzaddikim. He died in 1821. The yeshiva was originally a wooden building, as most yeshivas were. He died in 1821, was succeeded by his son, Reb Itzel Volozhin. And under Reb Itzel, the yeshiva grew in number, and the greatest rabbis, I can mention names all day today, and I'm not going to do it, but I'll mention a few just to be sure. You can almost name anybody you want, they learned in Volozhin. Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski learned in